welcome back to Extra Feature Interviews. We have an awesome director today. He's all the way from Australia. He's up really late. I'm up early. It's kind of fun. I have a tie. You sent me some wonderful things. You sent me some funny comedies. And you sent me some really intense stuff. And I don't even know where to begin. So I think we should start with the intense stuff because it's probably the most interesting discussion. I think of the comedy, we can kind of mellow out and enjoy that at the end.
Absolutely.
So Sounds good. Let's start with Third Temple. Where did this come from? Like, this thing is intense. I mean, obviously, I presume your native tongue is Hebrew?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, this thing was intense. I have a Hebrew friend, which how would you even know that I have a friend that speaks Hebrew and from Israel? And he speaks like this. Mm-hmm. Like, he has this intensity level. So I was like, wow, oh my God, it's like hanging out with my friend when he talks politics. So where did this idea come from?
Well, I was born in Israel, and I kind of split my time between Australia and Israel at the moment. So I sort of, half the year I'm there, half the time I'm here in Australia. Basically depends on where the projects take me.
Okay.
So I actually went to film school in Israel. Third Temple was actually my final project for my master's in film and television.
Well, it looks beautiful is the one thing I want to say. Like, I really felt you. I mean, you get a lot of independent productions I see. I didn't see any sign of that in Third Temple. Like, I really thought they were sitting on a newsroom. I mean, the only time I would say it did felt like an indie is when you transferred to the interview between the two, the terrorist and mm-hmm. the political guy. It was the only time it did not feel. That newsroom looked absolutely real to me. The conversations were real. The discussions seemed real.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't easy to pull off, but yeah.
I want to know, did they have a newsroom for you to shoot that in, or how was that all set up?
No. It was shot in the university studio, basically. We built the whole thing. Most of the newsroom stuff was basically done in green screen.
Okay. I was wondering.
Yeah, we basically set up a table there and put our actors in there, and the background was all green. The table was green. We put that all in post.
I thought the political analyst, the woman, was, like, intense, man. She was not letting that guy go. And I thought he was good, too. I thought he played his role well. The other two didn't seem really involved as much, but I thought the woman news anchor and the other guy were perfectly spot on.
Mm-hmm.
They had really good chemistry.
Well, the script actually comes from a script that we developed for a feature film.
Uh-huh.
But being university students, we couldn't afford to shoot the feature, so we shot a shortened version instead. And the three main roles, I guess, in the feature, she's one of them.
Okay, I have a few questions. You start the movie off with all the buildings on the first shot.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to symbolize? I didn't quite get how that worked in.
It was basically just showing you where you are, just kind of a normal day.
Could you fast forward? Could you kind of have that thing do a fast forward shot of everybody moving? So it was kind of like, where's he going with that?
It was just basically showing you the world outside, I guess, because everything else in the movie is very, very claustrophobic.
Yes.
Kind of happens in the room with the, as you put it, the terrorist and the kidnapped minister.
Yes, that story. I'm trying to remember who it was. I'm like, I know he's a political figure.
Yeah, he was. That was basically just to give you a feel of the outside. It was actually shot in different cities in Israel.
Because
there's one with the sun coming up, and there's another one of just the street.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of to give you a feel of what's going on outside before we go in, and then we go back to that at the end as well. But yeah.
I want to get a little bit more into the film. I have a question. I want to jump to the end for a second. At the end of the film, you show a shot of all the political figures with their hoods on.
Yep.
The guys we meet don't have their hood on. He's wearing a mask, obviously, and the other guy does not have a hood on.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did in the beginning.
He did in the beginning, but he's taking it off. But when they kill everybody else, they all have their hoods still on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why was that?
That's the thing. We wanted to separate him, to show that there's a different story there between the kidnapper and the kidnapped. He was basically the good guy, the non-corrupt minister in a very, very corrupt government. We wanted to make that the story. So we had to we couldn't keep him in the hood the whole film, could we?
No, I didn't think you could. I was just asking why, because I figured you'd see
that was also a thing where it was a big part of the feature idea. So we just put that in there as it was, and we thought, well, it'll work.
So you said this was your master's thesis then. So was this everybody else's master's thesis or just yours?
Just mine, yeah.
Oh, wow. It was truly an amazing production. Like, it was intense. Like, how did you find the people for the movie? Did you ask, like, they're obviously students, you know, or?
Some of them are. Because
that older guy for the political guy for the Secret Service looked like he's not a student.
The political guy? You mean the kidnapped minister?
No, he was a student for sure. The terrorist was a student.
No. He's an actor. He does mainly, indie films in Israel and commercials and that kind of stuff. So he's a living, working actor.
Oh, wow. He was quite good.
Yeah.
And is the news anchor a student or is she a working actress too?
She's a working actress. I met her at film school. We hit it off. We did a few projects together. She's an awesome actress.
Yeah, she's very good. That's what I was wondering. Big fan. For a student, she quite impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the students were more part of the crew, not so much the actors.
Oh, okay. What was your reaction to this? Like, how did the students react and everything?
Ah, the students? You mean when we screened it at the university?
Yes.
They loved it. They did. Everybody at the university liked it. Outside of university was a bit more of an issue.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, not many people wanted to touch it.
Okay, I could see that. But
we knew that going in because we actually applied for a lot of grants. Well, a couple of grants in Israel, trying to get money for the feature, and nobody wanted to touch it because the grants are government grants.
But this seems very much like the culture of Israel, what that I hear from my friend. This seemed pretty much real to me.
It is to a point. I mean, we definitely exaggerated it, took it way further than it could ever go.
So it's not based on anything, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Sorry?
It's not based on anything that happened there or anything? It was just a...
Not the way it's, the way it unfolds in the film.
Okay.
Highly unlikely. But that's where I wanted to take it. I wanted to show what can happen sometimes, I guess, when the public, the citizens, get sort of pushed against the wall for, too long, and eventually something's got to give.
Well,
I put that into the film and took it, way, way further than it could ever get in real life. And I think that's kind of the point of the cinema.
Oh, I think you did a great job. I think it's very intense. I think even with the language difference, I had no issues with it. I understood it. I thought it stood out. I thought it made a statement. I thought it was very excellent. Like, just really excellent short to see.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I'm honest. I watch a lot of stuff. So just like if you follow my Twitter feed, which you obviously do, I do watch a lot of things. But I thought the intensity level was there.
It's been more successful outside of Israel.
I can see that. Like I said, having a friend that's from Israel and he sounded exactly like these people when he's discussing things, I was like, this is intense. Like, this is spot on for me. As a third party looking in.
Israelis are very, very passionate about their politics, I guess.
Oh, he is.
Yes. And I guess when you live it every day, it's, it becomes a part of you. It's, I can understand that. I've lived in Australia for a long time now, but that's still a part of me, especially when I spend a little bit of time over there in Israel.
I guess we can move on to something a little bit lighter, but not really. We can move on to Dolphin. And when was Dolphin Till?
any questions you have on either project, I'm very happy to answer.
Great. No, I love Dolphin too. I thought it was fun. When was Dolphin shot then?
Dolphin was shot in an apartment in Netanya in Israel. It's a city by the beach. And we had an opportunity there where a friend of mine bought an apartment, and the building was still being built, and it was almost finished. And he said, "Well, if you want to shoot a film here, you can." So I wrote the script.
That's right.
And we went in and shot it.
How long did it take to shoot Dolphin? I mean, it's 12 minutes, so you never know. Sometimes take 2 days, sometimes they take a day, sometimes a week.
Well, it took us about, I'd say, 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Well, we did sort of squeeze it all in. We had it all planned. We knew what we were going to do. Being a one location kind of film made it a little bit easier. But we hoped that it wouldn't look so much like a one location film. So
I thought there were two. So now you got me fooled.
Well, there are two. The are you talking about the bit in the beginning?
Yes.
Shot through the home video camera?
Yeah, yes.
That was shot in a different apartment.
Okay, yeah, good. So if I thought it looked like two locations, but I could be wrong.
That was shot in half an hour, that part.
So where do you find your extras for your films? Well, Dolphin at the beginning, you have a few extras, and then they kind of just disappear for that. Dolphin, at the beginning of the party, aren't there a few people wandering around with her?
There's actually nobody there.
Did I? Oh, my God. I'm really sorry then.
No, it's just the sound.
Okay. Well, then you did a good job. You fooled me. Because, I mean, I do, like I said, I watched a lot of your three
yeah,
movies.
It's amazing how close to reality you can get with good sound, you know, when you put the sound of a party in the background and it's just like it's right there. It's alive.
Because I did make a note. All I have in my notes is very dark lighting. I did notice you didn't light up anything.
Yeah, that was the idea because we wanted it to have a party feel for that part. So if it was really well lit, I guess you could tell that there was nothing happening, in the rest of the room. But no, it was basically just me and another friend helping me out and the actress. And yeah, I'm the voice behind the camera. The friend was the voice of the EMT guy at the scene that was just on a black screen.
Okay. I thought Dolphin, the chemistry was amazing.
Yeah, well, the guy playing the guy.
Yeah,
Erez is the name of the character with another Israeli name. But he is Asaf Angel. He's actually my production partner. He wrote Third Temple and directed it with me, and we did a lot of work together on Dolphin as well.
I think your production values, like I said, are phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Like, I'm very impressed for an indie filmmaker, if I can classify you as that. I think they're very high. Like, the sound's always good. I like the lighting on your work. I don't feel your actors are ever not acting, if that makes sense.
Very natural, yeah.
I did like the chemistry in Dolphin. That way at the end?
The actress is in Bal Eisenberg. She was in a reality TV show that's like a home improvement show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was part of the crew there and sort of a bit of a celebrity. I saw her there and we got in touch and I really liked her look for this role.
She has a perfect look for the role, I thought.
Yeah, and she read the script and she loved it and
I like her look a lot.
Definitely hope to work with her again. She's awesome.
I think she's really good. Where did Dolphin Origin come from? Like, it's just something you thought of? Like, this should be some fun?
I guess it's a little bit like a lot of my other scripts. I just sort of get an idea and I run with it. Both Dolphin and Third Temple, I wrote those treatments on separate bus rides.
Oh, wow. So they're both very intense
films. From university, going back home, I just wrote those scripts, mapped them out on the bus, and got home and just started writing the script. I get like that, I get an idea and I just sort of latch onto it, run with it and write it as quickly as I can before I change my mind.
I think it's great. I want to state I love your production values. I think you do good casting choices. And your sound choices are great. I mean, I'm giving you really positive feedback, and I really do mean this. I mean, I like I said, I watch a ton and ton and ton of indie film and do indie film interviews, and you're probably one of the most impressive things I've seen in a while.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
So I want to see a feature from you is what I'm probably getting at. I would like to see
working on one at the moment.
I look forward to that. I actually would really like to see it because, I mean, if it's at the intensity level of Dolphin or Third Temple, I'm it. Like, I know you can do it.
Well, we're working on improving our production value, you know, because both of those productions were very, very low budget.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, so we're trying to get, you know, more professional crew, better cameras, better equipment, and that's what we've been working on. We just recently completed a short and sent it out to festivals. I think you've seen some of the publicity for it. Yes. Ivy? You actually wrote to me from a separate from the Ivy account, I think.
Yes, I didn't know that was you, though. I did write you from
the Ivy account. Yeah, that is, yeah.
See, I do pay attention. I follow them. Like, oh, I didn't know it was you. Yeah, Ivy's
a psychological horror. We went sort of a different direction.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know Ivy was you because I just saw it show up on my feed. So I said, okay, well, I might as well see that one too.
Yeah, and it's doing the festival run at the moment. It's doing very well.
You should have just sent me an email back going, you dummy, it's me again. I'll send it to you when it's ready. Don't worry.
I thought you knew, and just when talking to you now, I realized that probably you don't.
I have no idea. I don't mean to be rude. A lot of people send me stuff, so I just try to pick and choose.
I completely understand that.
So that's great, though. I look forward to seeing Ivy. Okay, then I will take it off my thing and just leave it where it is. That's okay. Now you've, like, maybe – the funny thing is I watched Bruce Springsteen's first. I watched
Bruce Springsteen's,
Bruce Springsteen's first. And then I went to Dolphin, and then I watched Third Temple. So that was my day. So maybe we can go try some comedy, go something a little bit lighter.
So your day was all over the place.
Yeah, it was weird because, I mean, I started in the morning. I watched most of Bruce Springsteen's, and then I watched Dolphin, and then in the evening I watched Third Temple. So,
yeah, no, it's quite a bit of a shift.
Yeah,
going from the Bruce Springsteen's to two very intense thrillers. Yeah.
So let's get in the Bruce Springsteen's first. Well, we can start there if you don't mind. I love the
no problem.
I love the war. When did you write your warning? Was that on the bus?
No, that was basically a very, very quick sort of 5-minute job before we put the episodes together.
I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely funny. I thought it was very, very, very funny.
And you know, the intention was to basically let the audience know not to take this seriously because we don't. It's comedy. It's not supposed to be something else. And it is pretty wacky. I thought, you know, we needed to do something like that to sort of ease people into it a little bit or just go, you know, maybe more in their face from the beginning. But before they see the actual show. And that's what we came up with.
At the beginning of the film, how could you not? They're big, gigantic mustaches. How could you not take this as a comedy or even a farce, I guess?
Well, when the warning comes on, you don't see it yet, but yeah.
Where did you find your two actors? Because one guy is obviously 6'4 or something. The other guy is like 5'5 maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Probably not far from that. He's the tall guy is about 195 centimeters. I think that's about 6'4.
Yeah, I'm guessing. And the funny thing is, you didn't give that to me until episode 4.
Sorry?
You didn't really show me until your web series episode 4. I couldn't really tell the height difference because the way you were shooting it.
I see.
I noticed you were tricking. I'm like, I know they're different in height. I can see it. But until that one episode where they're almost staring at each other, I'm like, oh my God. They are totally different heights.
We were concerned about the height difference because we thought that was going to be very difficult to shoot. We just loved both of them for the roles. So we thought, well, we're gonna go with the best actors for those roles rather than, you know, try to get people who are of more similar height.
Did you hide it? Was it a theory trying to hide it in the first few episodes?
No, not so much. We actually put it right out there. In the second episode, we show it. The second episode has the Pulp Fiction spoof.
Yes.
And when the door opens, you can see that the guy playing Shatner, he's standing on a stool.
I saw that. And I'm like, I guess I just wasn't paying. Completely like, maybe he's playing games with me somehow, or he's bending down. But eventually, I'm like, wait a second, they're totally different heights.
And even in the intro, which is
when he stands on the stool,
a good, bad, and the ugly kind of stuff. Yeah, he's on the stool. He's on the stool on the logo.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm kind of like, I thought maybe you were playing games with me or shot differently. Then I'm like, no, they really are different heights.
Very different heights. Yes.
What's up with the crazy mustaches? I'm just reading off my notes.
The crazy mustaches basically started when we were every episode is sort of wrapped, like in the beginning and sort of some parts of it in the ending, around the two of them being interviewed, and that is basically spoofing True Detective.
Okay, I've never seen True Detective, so.
Okay, well, in True Detective, Matthew McConaughey's character has a pretty big mustache, and we thought, let's just take this further and have the mustache cover almost half his face.
Okay.
We did that.
I do have one question that's not answered during the episode. How does Shatner pay the bills?
How does Shatner pay the bills? He doesn't.
He doesn't, because he keeps saying, the other guy keeps telling him, you need to pay your rent, and it keeps coming up.
Well, he keeps somehow getting jobs and losing them.
Okay.
So I'm guessing at some point in between he gets paid.
That's right.
And then he loses a job, and then he goes on to the next one. Yeah. And but that's why, you know, he moves in with Wes. It's Wes's apartment, so he can freeload off it.
Did the hug scene come from anybody, or was it just something funny you made up?
The hug scene? The Pulp Fiction spoof?
When Shatner discusses getting fired for hugging the boss's 15-year-old daughter or something too long, I couldn't stop laughing.
Well, that all sort of is something I came up with when I was thinking about the Pulp Fiction spoof. And in Pulp Fiction, it's the foot massage scene.
Yes.
They have a whole conversation about foot massage. And I thought, well, what can be ridiculous enough but not going too far? You know, to change that into, and I came up with the too long hug.
Oh, I couldn't stop laughing at times. I'm sure I probably should go back and rewatch it because I probably missed some stuff. But
It is one that you kind of need to rewatch if you want to get it all, because there's a lot of little bits and pieces in there. Yeah. It's definitely spoofing a lot of different films, but most of them are very, very mainstream, very popular films. So
the pie scene is great. The pie scene I have written down is great.
The pie scene? The American pie scene? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was crying on the pie scene. I will tell you, when I saw him walk in and he's doing the pie, and then the guy goes back out and comes back in. What are you doing? Oh, I'm eating this. Oh, are you? It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that's
great
to hear.
I did not see that coming, but I'm like, I would do the same thing to my buddy.
Absolutely.
Anybody in that scene would do that. And I had a personal question for you. How long is the too long hug? I did make a note to ask you, how long is the too long hug?
I don't think we actually mentioned a time frame for that in the series, I don't think I ever thought of one.
I was thinking, how long is the too long hug?
I'd say anything over about 15 or 20 seconds.
Well, that's what I was
thinking. Gets a bit creepy.
So where does your comedy from? Because I mean, you go from very intense filmmaking to a comedy, which is not really easy to do, I would say.
Well, The first film I ever directed, actually co-wrote and co-directed in Australia, was in 2007. My partner at the time and I decided we partnered up to basically make films, and it was as a hobby more than anything. So we wrote a film called The Collector, and that one was crime comedy. So you could actually say that I started with comedy.
Oh, okay. Was this when you were in film school or before you went to film school?
That was long before.
Okay. So I guess that was your initial drive to go to film school. You knew what you wanted to do.
Well, my bachelor's degree is in business, so.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. No, I've always been a film buff. I've been watching movies ever since I can remember, and a lot of them. And, yeah, I sort of steered away from that, you know, when you finish school and people tell you you've got to go and study something so you can get a steady job and make money and not be an artist where you, you know, where you're more likely not to make money. So I sort of went that way, trying to find sort of financial security and work on that. But eventually, I guess, you know, I couldn't really stay away from it. So it started as a hobby, and then I put it away for a little while as well and went back to work. And then about 8 years ago, I went back to Israel on a more semi-permanent basis. And a year after that, I was in film school.
I think that's awesome. Been the reaction to the Bruce Spring teams?
Oh, very, very split down the middle. People either love it or they just don't get it.
Oh, come on. How can you not get the severed head scene?
Hey, that's what I say.
Again, it made me laugh. I thought the comedy worked for me. I mean, I understand it's a low-budget comedy. I get that.
And it's very niche. Spoofing
things, but I liked it. I thought the actors embraced it. Again, I think you find really good actors for your scripts. I find they all mesh nicely.
Yeah, I get that a lot, but I think the credit goes to the actors, not to me. I think I'm very lucky because I do end up finding the right actors fairly early on in auditions so far.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if it's something that I recognize. I think it's just something that they bring. I've just been extremely lucky, I have to say.
Okay.
Both with professional actors and with amateur actors, they've all brought their A game to the films, you know?
I'm going to back this up. I mean, I've watched your comedy. We've watched Dolphin. We've watched Third Temple. You cannot tell me. You've chosen these people. And you're saying it's the actors. You're being too nice to yourself.
I did pick them. But what I'm saying is I picked them very early. I never had to do, you know, a ton of auditions. Were always there from the beginning. And I thought, wow. These are just the right people.
Now, is Bruce Springsteen shot in Australia? Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
All of the material you've seen was all shot in Israel.
Really?
Yep.
Because I couldn't hear an accent on them. So I was like, well, maybe they're Australian, but I don't hear that either.
Well, the tall guy, Zach Cohen, he lived in the U.S. for quite a few years.
Okay.
So, yeah, his American accent is perfect. And,
well, that's why I was confused.
The shorter guy, Thomas Shikori, he actually lived in the U.S. for a while as well and studied, went to university there.
Because I couldn't figure out the accent.
We advertised in Israel looking for people without a recognizable accent or at least not a heavy Israeli accent.
Well, they didn't have one. Because I couldn't figure it out. Cause I thought maybe they're going, these are really good Australians because usually Australian accents you can pick up easily. Could not pick it up at all. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to ask them because that was something that was just concerned with me.
Yeah, no, they're awesome. I couldn't have found better actors for that series. That was just...
So hopefully we can discuss this at a later date, but since you brought it up, I want to discuss Ivy. So I didn't watch the promo trailer. I feel bad now that it was you because I would have watched it.
Well,
so tell me something
so far,
about
I think,
Ivy.
I think I've only sent you the teaser trailer that we have for it.
Yes.
Yeah, because the film is running in festivals at the moment, so there wasn't really an available link I could send you at the time. So
where is it running? Where are the festivals? Talk about that for me, that process.
It's been showing all over the place. But
did it show to Toronto? Did it show Seattle? Did it show Venice?
It showed in Canada a few times in different festivals. There's a festival called Deep Cut.
I've never heard of it.
We actually won Best Horror Film there, which was awesome.
Where's the Deep Cut Festival? I'll have to look it up because I've never, ever heard of it.
Now, I have to look it up just so I don't give you the wrong information.
It's all right. I can look it up after. It's not a big issue. So.
Yeah, it's been accepted into around about 15 festivals so
far. That's awesome.
So,
that is great news. Have you been touring with the film then?
I haven't. I flew from Israel to Australia just recently, and I'm here for a while. So I could not really fly out to any festivals.
Yeah,
which was a shame. But yeah,
do you have an Australian?
But I'm hoping to do that with the feature, though.
Okay, good. Is there an Australian film festival you can show the film at?
Well, there are a couple that we've submitted to. We just don't know yet. We're waiting on their notification dates. Hopefully we'll get in.
Great. They can do a Q&A afterwards and do this all over again.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something we're hoping to do because, you know, it means that we get into more festivals. It's Ivy's mainly been accepted into festivals in the U.S., but there have been Northern Frights. Have you heard of that festival?
Nope. I'm gonna look all these up afterwards
because that's also in Canada.
Okay.
And it's gonna show there sometime soon. I think later this month.
If it's near me, I'm gonna go check it out, and I'll send you an email saying I saw it if I can find it.
It is in Ontario.
That's where I live. So.
There you go.
So I'm going to go find out why I've never heard of these festivals. There's so many of them, I agree. So I'm going to have to do some more
Well, if you go onto the Ivy page on Facebook, it's basically got all the festivals, you know, listed there as they went.
I'm going to try to check this out. Hang on. Keep talking, and I'm going to look it up while we talk.
I'm still trying to remember where... exactly where Deep Cut was, so I don't make a mistake.
That's all good.
But yeah, it's shown. It's shown in Atlanta. It's shown in New Jersey, Indiana, in the Philippines.
Philippines.
It was accepted into a festival there in Ireland as well. Okay. So it's done very well. We're very very happy with it so far. We're hoping it keeps going because there's still quite a few festivals to go. Picked up 4 awards so far.
That's
very
great.
Happy with it.
You know, it's kind of funny. And, I'm on the
Deep Cut was also in Ontario, by the way.
Oh, really? Because I'm looking for the Northern Fright Festival, and they have the worst website I've ever seen. It tells me Northern Ontario. Could you tell me where in Northern Ontario? Because I'm kind of like south, so. It's kind of funny. No. I will have to do some more research on it going, where are you guys? Because I don't know.
Yeah, there's some information on Facebook. It's just because of the amount of festivals, I just...
Oh, no, it's all good. You're giving me some new stuff to look up because I'd love to go meet more people and see more movies and do more interviews. But I can't if I don't start going to festivals.
Absolutely. There's a ton of... Of indie films and festivals, that's for sure.
And Kitchener, actually, Deep Cut Festival's not far from me. That's about an hour.
That's already been in Gondo.
But I could probably get there for next year, so that's what I'm thinking, maybe. But I'll try to get to the other one. I'll try to figure out where it is. But Kitchener's about an hour from me, so I'll send them an email.
Apparently in Northern Ontario.
Yeah, I see.
In Sudbury.
Okay, that's about a 4.5-hour drive for me.
Canada's huge.
Yeah, Ontario, I've driven across most of Canada once. It took us 12 hours to get out of Ontario.
4.5 hours, you can pretty much drive from one end of Israel to the other.
Oh, not a chance. you started at the bottom tip of Ontario and drove 4.5 hours, you'd make Ottawa. You wouldn't be far. You'd be like, what? How much more do I have to go? So that's great. Well, I want to say before I wrap up, I have a couple questions for you before you go, so please don't run away.
Mm-hmm.
I think your filmmaking is phenomenal. I love your filmmaking. I think you have a definite sense of
really appreciate it.
Directing, casting, lighting, sound. I really think you have a chance of doing something big with your Ivy film or future endeavors, because now I'm going to try to go see Ivy. In Sudbury, if I can actually figure it out, or I might have to wait for you to send me a link. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm upset about
way,
missing.
We'll work something out.
I hope we can do an interview about that film too, because I'm definitely going to look forward to it.
Yep.
Every interview, I like to wrap it up with just a few questions, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
They're kind of fun. They're enjoyable, and answer however you want. And the one
you've seen the Bruce Springsteens. I like fun.
Okay, I know you do. I wish you were more, actually, because I'm starting to go, okay. Because I'm going to recommend this to a friend of mine.
We've been trying to, to get some sort of a budget, some funding to make a second season of the Bruce Springsteens, and we've been unsuccessful so far.
It'll happen. I have faith in you. Yeah, I really do. I hope so.
Because it was fun.
Your favorite film of all times? It can be more than one.
Well, I have one. It's going to be a huge surprise probably for you, as it has been for others. And it's my favorite. It's not the film that I think is necessarily the best film of all time. But my favorite is The Magnificent Seven from 1960.
That's a fabulous film. Have you only seen the first one?
The first one?
There's like
you mean the others that they made with Lee Van Cleef and yes. George Kennedy and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen all of them, but yeah, they were nowhere nearly as good.
Did you like the new one?
I hated it.
Good. So it's not just me that hated it. Okay, good.
No, I thought it took everything that was good about the 1960 version and just ruined it.
So let's get into that for a couple seconds. Have you seen Seven Samurai?
Yes, I have.
So what do you think?
I think it's great. I think it's a fantastic film. I think The Magnificent Seven is better.
Wow.
And I'm pretty much alone on that. I have not found anyone who agrees with me.
I'm not joining you on that island. I'm sorry. I can't give you that one. I've seen both films. I think Magnificent Seven's a phenomenal film, but I just think... Is that your favorite Western then, The Magnificent Seven?
Well, it's my favorite film of all time, so it would have to be, I guess.
I mean, nothing else compares to it, I guess? I've been trying to think of something like High Noon.
I like a lot of films. I love a lot of films. Blade Runner is one of my favorites.
Blade Runner's amazing.
Gross Point Blank.
Oh, that's just a great comedy.
Well, there's a bit of a reference to that in Dolphin.
Is there? Oh, my God, I've seen Gross Point Blank in a long time.
Yeah. No, it's one of my favorites. I have a lot of, favorite films over time. But it's just I had to think about that question, my one favorite film, because I've been asked that a lot. And Magnificent Seven is the answer that I came up with because it just is. I see it at least once a year. I saw it just about 3 days ago again.
Oh, great. Well, that makes sense then. Okay.
Well, if I've seen it already at least 30 times and I still like it, it's got to say something about it.
I agree. Okay. This one's a little bit similar question, but a little bit different. Your friend comes over to watch a film. Could be anybody, boy, girl. Mm-hmm. What do you put on?
Just for fun, you mean?
Just for fun.
Anchorman.
Oh, Anchorman's a great choice. My wife would kill you, but I love it.
Well, it is the legend of Ron Burgundy. You got to go with that.
I agree. Great choice.
It's actually been an absolute inspiration when writing the Bruce Springsteens.
I can see that. Yes. Yes. Okay. That explains a lot now.
I watch it at least once before sitting down to write any comedic script.
Oh, wow.
It just puts my mind in the right sort of frame and I'm there.
Are you having a scotch at the same time?
No, but I probably should.
Scotch. I love scotch.
Totally and wear a robe, and I'll need to grow a mustache, I think.
Oh, I think you have them already left over from Bruce Springsteen. You can just tape them
on. Well, I'm in Australia now, and the mustaches are back in Israel, so that's going to be an issue.
I have one shipped over for you.
I'll grow one. It might take a shorter time.
Last question. You're at the movies. You finally get to go to the movie theater because you're a busy man, I know. What do you order?
A simple man. Diet Coke, popcorn. That's me.
That's it. No hot dog, no nothing. Just that's it?
Nah. And it better be a big tub of popcorn.
Oh, so it's got to be with butter and all that?
It used to. Not anymore. But I do love it.
Well, it's good.
Yeah. Well, but as big as they have, basically.
So for your...
If I can have a tub of popcorn that I would need a separate seat for, that would be good.
That's awesome. Thank you for your time. Again,
my pleasure,
I hope I gave you enough praise, and I will give you more on Ivy, I'm sure, when I see it.
We'll see about that. I'd rather you see it first.
I hope you can come back and do this for Ivy if you want to.
Absolutely.
I hope you had a good time.
I did. An absolute pleasure.
Why don't you tell people and, where to find you and find all your links and give you some money because you're so good.
Well, I was going to say that actually it's funny because I didn't know that you were Canadian before and you told me before. And we've received a lot of love from Canada, both festivals and people online. And yeah, just I guess we with both the thrillers and the humor, I think we're sort of hitting the right notes with Canadians for some reason.
Well, you may not like the snow up here, so stay in Australia.
Ah, well, I'll visit at some stage.
Well, good. I'd love to meet you. I hope we can hang out, and that would be kind of fun.
Yeah. And, as far as where to find our stuff, we're all over Facebook at the moment. We have Instagram accounts for most projects, Twitter as well that you know about, and our website is under construction. Should be done sometime in the next few weeks.
Okay. Great.
Where we will, for the first time, I guess, be talking a little bit more about the upcoming feature.
Great. I think that's awesome. Do you have a release date for that?
No. We already shot about half of it. It's a horror anthology. And the second half of it will be shooting into next year. And at the moment, we are looking for funding.
Great. I hope you find it.
Well, I hope so too. I mean, I'll get it made one way or another. I just don't tend to leave these things, unfinished.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it would be easier and would make it look better if we did have the funding.
Of course.
And yeah, I think sometime towards the end of next year or early in the following year, I think we're probably going to have another go at making a second season for the Bruce Springsteen.
Great. I look forward to it. I really do. Mm-hmm. I will watch it.
So we have at least one viewer.
You'll have one right here, and I'm going to recommend it to my friend when I speak to him today. So you probably have two soon.
Please do. I would love to hear what people think
about
it. It
made me laugh so hard, so I want him to watch it too. So I finished it up yesterday. I will speak to him today and mention it to him, saying you need to watch this. So,
yeah, there's a lot of additional material we put out there as well. All kinds of behind the scenes and a couple of teasers and promo video. And I can send you some links for those if you want to
see
that.
Great. Thank you so much. That would be awesome.
Cool.
And again, thank you. I'm sorry it's so late for you. I apologize for that.
Oh, this isn't late for me.
Okay, well, that's good to hear that. But I don't feel as bad.
I'm not going to bed anytime soon, let's put it that way.
And have yourself a scotch and write some more comedy for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm in horror mode at the moment, but I will.
Okay, good night.
Thank you very much.